This week in the markets, investors turn to the precious metals and related shares amid renewed risk-on conditions. Well, welcome back to Gold Seek Radio, everyone. Your host back with you this weekend in the Season 14, Episode 686 edition. Investors were treated to a solid week in the markets despite strength in the reserve currency. So where is gold, silver, and related shares? Where are they headed from here? My first guest may just have the answer. The big story over the next few years could be global currency issues. Dr. Stephen Lieb returns with dire warnings about unsavory economic conditions and how it might just create a gold bonanza as investors seek shelter from what they view as unfair trade practices, including our top trading partner that has slowly started opting out of the petrodollar arrangement. Nations are just lining up for yuan-based oil transactions. Additional beneficiaries could be the blockchain, where a revolution is underway that might just facilitate the transition away from outdated fiat money into more solid and reliable digital money. The new paradigm shift could restore individual sovereignty and personal freedoms. But this story doesn't stop there. Copper, lead, zinc, silver, all essential metals for the photovoltaic energy production story. And he likes them as well. The discussion also veers into the Ganesha Project at Signal Hunters. We're a small group of researchers who believe we have identified a message from beyond this world. Dr. Stephen Lieb offers encouragement to the team, as well as insights. And continuing with that thought, my next guest, Ryan Walsh, returns to the show. This is the computer scientist who we are also convinced has identified the first off-world signal. We also discuss the holographic images and audio decoded by the team using the signal that he found, given to us courtesy of Casey Law at Harvard University, and found by the Arecibo Radio Telescope. Yes, that's the one from the blockbuster movie Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. If you're interested at all, we have several figures and lots of videos. Just a few are posted. I hope you find them as interesting as we do. And we'd like for you to call into our Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900, followed by extension number 514049. Please jot it down, punch it right into your phone, or on a post-it note by the phone, 641-715-3900, mailbox number 514049. Cancel it, delete it, re-record, and it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week available to you. What would the show be without Robert Ian? Wraps up the show with another must-hear report. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Mostly sunny skies appeared over the precious metals sector this week as investors ignored the strong U.S. dollar rally, turning to safe haven investments amid increased financial market volatility. At Friday's closing bell, the precious metals indices finished near break-even, with the yellow metal at around 1,300. Silver, though, bucked the trend, picking up 10 cents, ending at 1,535. But the XAU precious metal shares picked up 2 points, 3%, finishing around $76. Black gold also near break-even, around 56, well off the lows of 42 just a few weeks ago. Palladium finally took a breather this week, but still holding solid at around $1,500 an ounce for palladium. Platinum also took a breather, in at around $817. The top story driving the markets this week, weaker than expected non-farm payrolls numbers, surprised many economists. The news soured the 10-week-long risk-on trade, temporarily turning investors to safe haven assets. Analysts were perplexed by sluggish U.S. job growth figures last month, where the economy created only 20,000 jobs, but that, of course, amid contraction in payrolls, and likely just a blip due to the 30-day government shutdown, which has now been resolved. On a more positive note, the Labor Department report showed solid signs of economic progress, including 3.4% year-over-year wage growth, the best showing in a decade. noted one media report. In addition, report revision revealed an additional 12,000 jobs, bringing the average gains for December, January, and February to around 186,000. Adding support for the strong economy thesis, a drop in the national unemployment rate down to 3.8%, one of the lowest figures in at least 50 years, was viewed by many market pundits as an extremely positive sign of domestic growth, the antithesis of a recession. The key takeaway point, the U.S. economy is so robust that not even a trade war or a temporary government shutdown were able to capsize the vessel. Bottom line, precious metals. The big hurdle facing the sector this week remains strength in the greenback as global investors seek relative stability and return in the reserve currency. Plus, investors' passion for U.S. equities still remains a key theme that appears to have legs. Given the epic stock market rally and its propensity to hit record highs, precious metals could, though, still surprise, I think, many investors, riding its coattails amid what might be viewed as the largest financial bubble in history. Stay tuned. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, after perhaps the most impressive 10-week rally in over a century, equities bulls booked some profits on slightly weaker than expected U.S. economic figures. However, investors viewed the numbers as merely an outlier for the most part, as the smart money will likely use the reaction as an opportunity to accumulate discounted shares in anticipation of better times ahead this year. The New York Stock Exchange, by Friday's closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow was off only 576 points. That's just 2%, 25,450. Meanwhile, the S&P 500, a broader basket of shares, fell 61 points, ending at 2743. And the NASDAQ gave back just 187 at 7408. The big story this week: investors chose the sidelines after pricing the market to near perfection at the end of a Fed rate hike cycle, multi-decade record employment, and solid corporate profits. Friday's weak February jobs report is likely just an anomaly. Turning to interesting shares in the news, CNBC's Jim Cramer noted Facebook, ticker FB, in the Action Alerts Plus holding. We like it as well. Then in the executive decision segment, he also picked up one of our favorite alpha stock picks, GOLD, which is currently in discussions to acquire Newmont Mining, which could also merge soon with Goldcorp. Essentially wind up with three of the top XAU companies in Uno share. U.S. shares, bottom line. Well, the USA Today Greed to Fear Index finally recoiled this week, letting some steam out of the market engine, viewed as a positive sign. From a technical standpoint, shares are holding firm at support as the requisite reaction rolls forward. We remain in the neutral camp, cautiously optimistic. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Dr. Stephen Lieb, 3 decades of investment experience at least. He focuses on growth stocks and commodities. Former editor of Personal Finance, one of the most widely read financial newsletters, over 100,000 subscribers, author of an endless series of must-read books, including the one we're looking most forward to, his gold magnum opus. Welcome, Dr. Lieb.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I think it's become critical to China and the developing world to have a currency other than the dollar controlling the show. And one reason, incredible privilege that the U.S. still maintains, is that because of the dollar, we can sanction other countries. Because the dollar is basically how we invoice people for wherever. If China's doing business with Malaysia, the chances are they're doing business in dollars. Any kind of trade takes place, most trade in the world takes place in dollars. The plurality of trade takes place in dollars. This is why we can sanction other countries. I mean, China can't sanction anybody. Japan or Europeans cannot sanction anybody else. Only the U.S. has the ability to sanction other people, people that do business with Iran. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to sanction those people. But the point is, if you're trying to run your own economy, you don't want somebody standing over you to issue sanctions if you do something wrong or something that they don't like. And that, to me, is such a powerful argument to go for gold, and I think we're getting there. I think China is coming very close. They started last year, about a year ago almost, they started trading oil in yuan. That has gone very well. Indications are that the Saudis and other Middle Eastern countries will start pricing oil, generally speaking, not just in Shanghai trading pits, but overall in yuan, or at least yuan and dollars. That is a major step, Chris, because the reason that the U.S. got to where it is today in terms of having this powerful currency was when we went off the gold standard in 1971, Nixon made a deal with the Saudis to price oil in dollars. And oil was then, still is, by a long shot, the most important commodity in the world. As long as oil was priced and is priced in dollars, the United States is going to have a tremendous edge in keeping their currency as the reserve currency. Gold will always be a number two, and I don't know, number three will be maybe the euro, whatever. But, you know, in terms of actual transactions, it's the dollar first, the euro second. But gold is always there as a backup. China wants to, in my opinion, wants a basket of currencies with gold at the center, with everything coming back to gold. I mean, I know you'll like this. I think blockchain has a major role to play in what the eventual monetary system will look like. But gold has the critical role to play for so many reasons. It would, you know, drive everybody nuts if I started, you know, going on about it. But I think for that reason, gold is going to be incredibly important. And it's one way of getting rid of, you know, the unilateral power that any country would have to issue sanctions. Two, it's going to be necessary, and this goes to all other commodities. We are, if the electrical vehicle revolution, you know, continues apace, we're going to run short of a lot of commodities. I mean, things like copper, it's hard to connect the dots. I mean, electric vehicles, solar energy, wind energy, all these require tremendous amounts of these base metals, copper, lead, zinc, et cetera. You know, I'll come down to a particular stock, which I think is very interesting to watch, Glencore, which is one of the largest commodity companies in the world. It's a very diversified commodity play. They trade oil, they mine copper, they mine zinc, they mine cobalt, et cetera. What they announced just maybe within the last 2 days is they are no longer going to spend money developing coal. They have stopped developing coal. Now, this is not because the guys at Glencore suddenly got clean energy religion. They did not. I mean, they couldn't care what they sell and market. I mean, they're kind of ruthless cowboys. But what they do see is that these base metals like copper, like zinc, I mean, these things that we sort of take for granted, you are going to need massive amounts of these metals, as well as massive amounts to oil. of oil if you're ever going to transition from energy in the ground to energy from the sky. If you're going, you know, forgetting about, you know, the climate arguments, forgetting about all that, just in terms of scarcity. If you're going to, you know, go from non-renewables to renewables, you're going to need massive amounts of copper, massive amounts of zinc, and it's not clear that we're ever going to have that much. So that's where gold comes in again. Gold comes in because it is a rationing mechanism. Gold is this very, very special metal, which people prize, not because of its physical characteristics or its industrial characteristics, though it does have a lot of good industrial characteristics, that you can oxidize it, et cetera, but they really prize it for its beauty, and they want to have it. And that it's the ideal metal to use as a rationing mechanism. You know, who gets this amount of oil, who gets this amount of copper, who gets this amount of everything. And as you go forward in this century, over the next, probably not my lifetime, but over the next 10 or 20 years, I mean, this is going to be a world you're not going to recognize. I'm convinced gold, and again, coming back to your AI or, you know, blockchains, it's have it, certainly a major AI component, they are where it's going to be. But in order to get there, you're going to need as much and more of the basic commodities that this world is endowed with. You can call me long-term super bullish on commodities, and gold will, I think, be at the center of what will be, you know, just, you know, a complete 180-degree turn that our world is going to have to execute, and execute it fairly quickly. You know, I think in the end they agreed not to even pay it. I mean, it was a nothing kind of case. They took photographs of a robot. They admitted it, and they settled it. And that's all they've gotten on Huawei. I mean, that's not enough to do anything.
I started off with some wonderful engineers. They made some interesting findings. I took the ball and just by chance in 30 days stumbled onto written language, messages, audio, something like holograms. I have published the findings, APA format. I've submitted it to several agencies around the world, including NASA, SETI. I just wanted to share it with you because I feel like you're one of the few people who could really appreciate it. What they're trying to say is that it's a periton. This would be like a microwave stray signal that just happened to be in the area of the radio telescope at the time. There's only one problem. There are several voices on here that are not at all from the Earth. And there's at least six or seven different languages that look like ancient Zhao, ancient Qi, ancient Han, and ancient Zhou Chinese literature. So we've submitted something like 70 or 80 individual figures along with the files all around the globe.
Let me make a prediction.
Yes, sir.
If that's right, what you're saying, this will be go down as the discovery of the century.
Because, see, we have two engineers who found the noise.
Whose ever name is on this, this will go down as the discovery of the
century. Let me direct you to our webpage where we're putting up our findings. We've named it after Ganesha.
Do me a favor. Can you email me the website and I'll pass it on to others?
I went in and found 6 hours of keyboard music. Then I started to demodulate it. Then I started to get the voices. We've got holograms of wars, ancient wars. We have sagas. We have scrolls. All the original scripts that have ever come. Now get this. We had to decompress. It all came in a fast radio burst in just 2 seconds.
Chris, that would be the first thing that I would have predicted, because people just don't want to, they just can't relate to something that's that new.
If we had someone like Dr. Stephen Leeb, maybe these guys are onto something?
I'm too old. I just want to be able to help, and I will. I mean, like I said, let me have the name of the web. Just email me the website, and I will have people that really know what they're doing, that are academically respected. Look at this. I really will. The Jodie Foster movie and the reaction that this has received it's sort of like we are primitive people. One comment that I remember a good friend of mine saying one time, we were having some sort of philosophical discussion about something or other. He said, we don't realize how primitive we are. That has always stayed with me because we are primitive. I think that the significance, you know, transcends anything. Who knows? This could mark, a turning point. And I could say that it's going to be incredible. What you wrote me a little thing about a vertical wave, and it struck me immediately that that was something kind of special. And that was something that, you know, I was going to ask you about it anyway, that I would want to send around. It's incredibly impressive, yes. You know what's fascinating to me, Chris? I mean, we have similar kinds of interests. He basically didn't develop his stuff out of a university. He did it at home. Basically, he was out of the sort of orthodoxy of science. Another one is Julian Barber. Wrote a book in 1999 on time and basically argues that time is just an artifact. It's just a construct. There's no such thing as time, and it sounds so weird, but it's published. It was, you know, been incredibly well reviewed, you know, by people in academia. He doesn't teach. He's not allowed in academia. I mean, because it's considered heresy.
Doctor, this is like mithril silver. It is a magical scroll. After I viewed this, let me tell you what happened to me. It was like a hominid touching the obelisk in 2001. It was the error-correcting code in between the holograms. I just stumbled onto that, and I thought to myself, did they have a humanoid visitor? Is that what sparked this? So this is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. It should be overwhelming to everybody. The reason that it so defies what we accept is orthodoxy. What we accept is, you know, science. It's an uphill battle to get it accepted. But it very well could be, like I said, the discovery of the century. But you're going to have to be prepared to, you know, kind of fight and kind of really demonstrate it. I mean, you know, we grow up thinking that if we find something so special that everybody will just immediately, you know, genuflect and drop to their knees, et cetera, and just say, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the answer. No. People don't want to be told that, you know, their way of looking at the world, their prism, their perspective, their paradigm is completely wrong. They don't want to be told that. So, you know, that's sort of one of the battles you have when you come up with something that is incredibly special.
I'm just going to go ahead and send you my paper. Keep in mind, it's just a concept paper. It's not dissertation level. It's only 53 pages.
Oh, no, that's fine. Give me your website address.
I'm talking to the engineers. I said, Chris, we don't have a means to encode in the society today anything close to this. They say, Chris, what are these voices? These are not human voices. I was such a skeptic for so long. I have still not told my better half, Jennifer. It's fast radio burst, decryption and demodulation, algorithmic process. So I got that submitted. I believe it has a profound impact. It's like some type of
hypnotic.
When you hear this and you see this, I haven't shown you anything. 3D holograms that run for hours, organ pieces and fugues.
Let me say, I would love to see this. I'm incredibly intrigued.
You got it.
And a lot of, you know, just like I said, if something like this is discovered, I don't think it's going to come out of academia, conventional thinking. Chris, thanks a million. It was a great pleasure, and I'm really happy about your family and everything.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
David Morgan pens the Morgan Report, covers economic news, topicality, financial health, global economy. Welcome back, David Morgan.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Investors were lured into complacency. Of course, I'm referring to U.S. equities, 10-year run, and the typical buy-the-dip strategy not working out the way it did in recent years.
We're overdue for a correction in the stock market. Right now, we're basically at the correction level, which means about a 10% from the top. We don't really consider we're in a bear market from the establishment perspective until we have a 20% correction, and we aren't there yet, or 20% fall from the top. I do believe we're going to get there. And I mean, the Fed isn't really that proactive. They're usually followers, not leaders. They basically wait for markets and then they take action. So we're, you know, the camp that the stock market's on its way down, which is good for gold. Gold is the most negatively correlated asset to the stock market. Starting to show some strength here. I think 2019 will be a better year. I know I said that last year, but I really think we've got more going for us now. When you see the dollar, if the dollar starts to come off as well, and the stock market, and of course there's problems in the bond market with interest rates going higher. I mean, everything now is basically playing in the gold market.
It's interesting you'd mention that, because on the weekend, portfolio candidates for the Alpha Stocks newsletter, I ran through several different time ranges on the U.S. Treasury, bills, notes, you name it, even the ETFs, the TLT, SHY. U.S. Treasuries are not behaving, I think, as the traditional safe haven. The longer term's not buying it. That's something I don't think we maybe have seen in decades. If the theme persists, most investors are going to be caught flat-footed because, again, we started off with the complacency in U.S. equities. Traditional safe haven for the typical investor was always bonds. You know, one zigs, the other zags. But there are times when that correlation doesn't hold and precious metals fill the void.
And I agree that if you go back, you know, when I was a youngster, you go back 30 years, maybe back 30, 40 years, the bond market basically was more or less a free market. The bond, what we call bond vigilantes, they were the smartest guys in the street, the smartest traders ever, the bond traders. Well, whoever coined the term, and I give them credit, I can't remember, there are no markets, just manipulations. I mean, that's pretty much true now. Everything that's traded is basically done through some type of algorithm with some computer finding someone else's computer. I mean, yes, there's orders given by, you know, Chris calls up or does an E-Trade account and presses his mouse and buys a stock or sells a stock or trades an option or an ETF. Yes, that, of course, that takes place. But the real trading, the bulk of it is basically, I won't use manipulation, but algorithms. So the point I want to make is, can we be in a place where, as you suggest, we see the bond market actually go the way a free market would react? So when the economy is uncertain, currencies degrading, that the yield starts to reflect everything that's happening in the economy. And we're starting to see that, as you point out. Now, whether or not the banks will give up control of the bond market, it remains to be determined, because as we all know, banks can print money at will. And because of that fact, they pretty much have control of the bond market at this time. Doesn't mean, though, all manipulations end. And I'm certain that at some point this will end. Whether by design or not, things are going to shift drastically in the future. How it's going to unravel, I don't think anyone of us knows exactly. But as Bill Holter points out continuously, and I agree, it's the debt markets, the credit markets. Everything runs on credit. And when that freezes up, as Jim Rickards has called it, Ice 9 with Kurt Vonnegut, when that freeze through the credit system happens, then you're going to have a lot of displacements literally within a few weeks. And these are things that will or will not be overcome.
As you say, this idea of Ice 9, the freeze-up, the sudden and unexpected freeze, it's systemic, it's throughout the entire system. Virtually no one prepares for it, and everything just shuts down. Again, this has been the mantra of the diehard precious metals aficionados for decades, and it looks like we might have that freeze-up at some point. What might cause that? And one thing comes to mind. You brought up the idea, not manipulation, but algorithms, and you can see that. It pulls pull up a monthly chart of the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrials, or the NASDAQ. If you look at a monthly chart, you can see that there is obviously for decades, but especially in the last 10 or 15 years, if it's not manipulation, there's some other invisible hand at play. Collapse of General Electric. This is probably the only remaining primary component of the Dow 30. When I think GE, I think of my grandfather and great-grandfather's portfolios. You know, it's just like, yeah, they drank the debt Kool-Aid, and it sunk the ship. Tens of billions of dollars of their own shares using what? Cheap, free money. Debt. The free money train is gone. Thanks, let's say, to the Federal Reserve, which is bumping up rates another three or four times in 2019.
You know, there's an adage that as GM goes, so goes the country. Well, GM is, there's a recent article out there called Carmageddon. And Carmageddon is a takeoff, obviously, on Armageddon. It talks about the situation with GM, which is similar to GE. Now, these stalwarts are failing because of the debt problem. And that's just a metaphor for the larger picture, which would be the U.S., which is a subset of the global economy. So this is going to be a huge shift. It's going to be felt by nearly everyone. And it's really an unknown as far as how it will not only unravel, but what the repercussions will be. I think there'll be some places where not much changes, and there'll be other areas that will be drastically changed. But as you said, with, you know, Rickard's call on the Einstein metaphor, it's pervasive. It's ubiquitous. It hits everything. And that's what happened in 2008. Actually, we were starting to get an Einstein event. And as a metaphor, the Fed came in with a flamethrower and started to melt some of the ice and gave Bank A and Bank B treasury bills or notes, basically short-term debt, for their toxic waste that the other banks were not willing to trade anymore. So there was a freeze up. They weren't willing. Banks were actually not willing to trade with you. And so the Fed came in and did what they did, which is they took and gave them something that everyone trusts. Well, when that happens again, and it's the treasury market that isn't trusted or is being sold off, and the buyer of last resort, the Fed, steps in. Players that know what's really happening, as they refer to bond vigilantes, or a more awake public, sees what's really going on and the currency's being destroyed, then, you know, who knows where it's going to lead. I mean, these things have happened in the past. Wealth doesn't go away. Everything gets repriced. All the malinvestment, or most of it, gets wiped away, and there's a resettlement structure. And sometimes that's also done with a new currency at the same time or nearly at the same time. Basically, look at Bretton Woods after World War II. So we have some very challenging times ahead, but there's a lot of opportunity ahead as well. And I think it's something to be aware of, be educated on, but don't stress too much about it because, as I said, even in the 30s, as bad as they were, there were opportunities there as well. And if you're actually living within your means and have low debt, have some savings, have maybe 10% of the precious metals, you are far ahead of almost anybody else.
We might be approaching a time, most of my guests seem to agree now, where you can bump that up a little, 15, 20% or more, simply because of the discounts we've had over the last decades during this equities rally. The only free lunch is for the typical investor because, you know, like an insurance policy, that you don't have monthly premiums because of the negative beta relative to U.S. equities. What do they have to thaw these markets? They could manipulate rates, right? And also their ability to purchase up mortgage-backed securities, you know, collateralized debt obligations and all the rest of this toxic debt. The buyer of last resort, which used to be China and a few other nations, there does not seem to be a lot of interest worldwide for our debt all of a sudden. To me, this is a sea change event. It's as though the buyer of last resort is now the Federal Reserve. From a historical perspective, that doesn't bode well. Look at Venezuela. Look at Argentina on the cusp of runaway inflation as well.
If you go into the Venezuela, Zimbabwe, or any of these are basically not mature capital markets, nor were they the reserve currency in the world. And yet what we look at is the safest investment available is U.S. treasuries. But that's a fiction, but that's still the belief. So the bond market or the debt markets are basically a governor on the entire system because of the interest rate. So when interest rates are going higher because of uncertainty, and they're not sure what the dollar is going to be worth in the future. So the interest rates, a la Paul Volcker, is an extreme case. You push the interest rates higher and higher, the market does, because I don't know what that dollar is going to be worth 5 years, 10 years, or 30 years from now. So I demand this kind of an interest rate. That's what the bond vigilantes used to do. So as interest rates go higher, bonds go lower. So that means there's a lot of debt that's reduced in value, and that's a deflationary event. So you can be in a situation where you have like a high interest rate in Venezuela, but there's really no mature bond market. But if you have an extremely high interest rate on U.S. treasuries or bonds or notes, you have a governing factor that you've taken a lot of money out of the system. So because of that fact, I always believed that you would see higher and higher inflation, not technically a hyperinflation, but enough of an inflation where you would be in a situation where the collapse happens without necessarily going to these high extremes that you see in Venezuela or Zimbabwe. It's just that, look, if the food prices and energy prices doubled overnight in the U.S., where would we be? When I was a youngster, the COLA, cost of living adjustment, took place throughout all of the working class, pretty much. This time it's not. There's too much competition in China. I'm not sure it could. Suggesting as we think it through on both possibilities. So I think what you'll see is edging higher of prices, not commensurate with an increase in wages. Basically, people get starved out. And anytime you have more debt than you can service, which is, of course, the United States itself, and that's a metaphor for basically everyone that works for a living, you're going to see a lot of things change. So as I said, if you double the price of gasoline and you double the price of food,
I think we're seeing that already play out right now in Paris, France. I mean, look at Macron's nightmare. What sparked it? Certainly point the finger at accelerating food prices throughout history and, of course, limited job opportunities as key underlying attributes of social unrest. Well, what sparked it in Paris? It was a 20-cent increase in the price of petrol. And, of course, it's already $6 or $7 a gallon, so it's obviously very expensive. People just can't make ends meet, and I think you alluded to that. Again, we don't want to get too dystopian here, so let's move on to some solutions. Are you still a believer that diversification is another one of those free lunches? And if so, should people be lightening up on any particular sectors and looking at anything else?
Well, during a stock market, you know, run like we've had, I mean, this expansion of 9 years or so, I mean, there's always rotation in the market. I mean, you look at what started in, you know, from the bottom in 2008, and here we are 2018, 10 years later. I mean, the, you know, FANG phenomena was sort of like the, pretty much a good indicator to me that we're getting near the top, because once you have these stocks that no one can go wrong on, everybody loves them. The solutions are, as I said before, very simple from that's to live within your means, have low or no debt, have some savings. Doesn't have to be all in, crypto or gold or cash. It should be a balance of what works for you. And just kind of be prepared. I think the main thing is be prepared mentally and know that, you know, the times we live in, without stressing too much about it, just accept it. And as I said, you know, if you're in a safe area and, let's say a lower population density, you know, maybe this thing will blow over for you and not really affect you very much. I don't really know. As I said, every case is different in different parts of the country, different parts of the world will have a different reaction. But if you're in a high concentrated area population wise, that's really dependent on, you know, those ships coming into port and you're getting your food trucked into your, you know, local grocery store on a, you know, 8 hour, you know, three times a day. And there's a disruption, you're in, you know, you're far more jeopardy than you would be if you're in a situation where, you know, you get, your shelves replaced on a weekly basis or whatever. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I don't like the doomer thing. I mean, if you look back to my beginning when I started on the internet and I wrote the 10 rules of silver investing, rule number one, no one wants to be a prophet of doom. You know, I mean, that's the first sentence I wrote. But there are times in monetary history where you need to be prepared. And this is one of those times. So being prepared doesn't mean you have to be an extremist. Nonetheless, you don't want to, you know, sugarcoat it either. You just want to be, you know, awake and aware and look at your own individual case. Make sure you have got, you know, what you need. And unfortunately, too many people are the, but the old story where the grasshopper or whatever is doing their thing and the other insect isn't, they're just waiting. And all of a sudden, the one that did the work and stored food and prepared for the future was much better off, because things do happen throughout history, not that often, but they repeat. And this is why you have to be aware of where we are. I'll add one more thing. I'll turn it back to you, Chris. But if you read Collapse of Complex Societies, John Tietner or something like that, great book, read it. And he went through Byzantine Empire, Mesopotamia, and then all these empires and how they collapsed. And there's different arguments, monetary system, food, weather, war, lots of things that happen in these different societies. And the main thing that I got out of the book was one that can happen in many different ways. But I wanted to sound, I don't care if it sounds profound or not. It sounds very simplistic, but it was a profound moment for me after I thought about it. So it doesn't really matter in a way what starts the empire to collapse. Once it starts down, it doesn't come back. And so this thing in France that may spread through Europe, and you see pressure in the UK as well with the Brexit. I mean, those two dominoes may just be two that hit the four, that hit the eight, that hit the 16. We may be witnessing right now the collapses really taking place without really realizing we're witnessing the collapses.
So I want to wish you a very happy New Year.
Thank you, Graf.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. If you've been a regular listener for the past decade, you know that periodically I speak about the concept of how a confused mind does nothing. No doubt, as you listen to the contradictions and hyperbole in the financial press about how great everything is, with discussions that conveniently overlook the out-of-control global debt situation, or the real but seldom discussed facts behind the never-ending parade of fake news and fake investigations, that throughout this process we are browbeaten to believe at the top of each news hour, day in and day out, month after month, an alternative view of reality that never happened. And as our minds are bathed in repetition with official narratives from a handful of sources within a narrow spectrum of what is considered to be acceptable parameters of debate, we are lulled back to sleep and into compliance as the world changes around us in ways that are both seen and unseen, visible and invisible. If you're at a point where you are starting to tune out the noise and question the relevance of issues that at some level you know are critical to your survival, then it's time right now, if your mind starts to wander, to bring it back and focus it on the issues you know are critical and must be addressed in the short term. And even if you find your mind begins to wander and shut down against the backdrop of social media censorship, discrimination, and lack of diversity by mainstream media, and any other obstacle that gets thrown in your way, it's your job to bring your mind back into focus and ignore the noise. Because the battle that is being waged today and every day at every level is the battle for your mind. Under no circumstances can you surrender the one asset you own free and clear. Your mind is the source of your power, your individuality, and your freedom. It is your connection to this world and your conduit to what awaits in the next. Simply by being aware of this process, you can rise above the battle for your mind. see it for what it is, and refocus any negative thought energy back onto those who would attempt to steal any part of the life force that is you. Remember, your mind is a powerful force. The results you produce in today's fast-changing world are directly related to how well you use your mind. Remind yourself of its power and use it well. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.